across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
And all these other people who are much more talented than myself. Brittany Merlot will join us in a second. Selena Heller from Up North News. Kristen Lyerly. Greg Bach, yours truly, on a very rainy, thunderstormy morning across basically the northwestern third of Wisconsin. And Brittany's here to tell us how and whether that rain will spread to your particular zip code and how we're looking to start the rest of the week. That'll be followed by Bill Hogsett at 7:30 talking about difficult conversations and keeping them civil. Celine is going to talk to us about the teacher shortage problems in rural school districts across Wisconsin. But let's get to that weather forecast, Brittany. Did you have a good weekend?
Oh, it was fantastic yesterday. A little wet and dreary on Saturday. How about you guys?
A little wet and dreary for the wet dog parade in Eau Claire. but then it improved nicely later in the day, and Sunday was drop dead gorgeous in a lot of parts of the state. So, it's kind of like that to continue. We got a small range of temperatures this morning. Lake Wissota's at 63, Hayward 60, Park Falls 59, Wausau 63. Green Bay 63, La Crosse 67, 65 in Rapids, 62 in Oshkosh, 64 in Madison, and 59 in Waukesha. And Dr. Lyerly has her hand raised. Kristen.
I'm going camping on Wednesday. And Brittany, I need you to put in a request for some pretty good weather in Waupaca.
Are you camping Wednesday night or is this Tuesday night into Wednesday?
Wednesday night, Thursday, going home on Friday.
Oh, I got you. You're going to have some good weather.
Yes.
It's going to be perfect. It's even going to cool down a little bit, too, so you can have a nice bonfire and actually get warm by it. Perfect time. Yes.
I love you so much. Thank you.
Wow. I love you, too.
This is amazing. I did not know we had this kind of power on this show. It's fantastic. How about for the rest of us mere mortals, Brittany?
Oh, goodness. Well, first of all, females, not only just the rain, but also the humidity today is going to be messing up your hair. I will let you know that it's going to get muggy. You're already feeling it. I mean, mid-60s this early in the morning. It's going to be another warm day for a lot of us. So we are going to be hitting the upper 70s for a good chunk of the state, especially south, but up northwest where it's raining, where it's cloudy, where you've gotten pummeled already with 1 to 2 inches of rainfall. Yes, heavy rain. You're going to stay in the upper 60s today. So what's going to be happening is a lot more sunshine in the southeast, a lot more cloud cover in the northwest. That rain is going to continue here this morning. And it's going to start to spread throughout the rest of the state. We're going to see some showers and thunderstorms definitely firing up around noon to 1. And then they're working their way across the state through this afternoon and evening. Now, we are looking at a slight risk for them to turn strong to severe, mainly from Madison into Janesville area down south. But that marginal risk does lift its way all the way through central Wisconsin, in towards Wausau, up the Fox Valley into Green Bay as well. Now, for a majority of us, we're looking at heavy downpours. We're already seeing that into parts of the northwest parts of the state. And then, of course, we are the potential for some heavy, strong winds that could do some damage. I think the hail and the tornado risk is going to stay way further south in the state, if non-existent at all. Let's keep our fingers crossed for that. But this warm front is just lifting through the state. We've got some nice temperatures today. We're going to get even warmer and more humid tomorrow with more storm chances. And then some more severe before this all clears out. But like I said, by Wednesday night and into Thursday and this weekend, we're going to be looking pretty good. Lots of sunshine and cooler temperatures.
Nice to know. I can time my lawn mowing to Kristen's camping calendar.
Yeah.
We'll keep that in mind because we mowed yesterday, but it has rained overnight to the point where the lawn might be knee high by noon at the rate that it grows that quickly this time of year.
I agree with you.
All right. Brittany, thanks so much. We'll talk to you later. Have a great day.
Have a good day. Bye.
Reminder, folks, that's not just June Dairy Month. We were talking about dairy breakfast before. It's Pride Month. And so in that vein, I just wanted to remind you that the crowd that used to chant, lock her up, does not seem to like it when you say lock him up, lock him up. So you see, pronouns do matter. There's a public service announcement by the folks who are behind Pride Month. I don't know where the editorials are calling on you know, Trump to drop out, or for the Republican National Committee to open up the field again for the Milwaukee Convention so that maybe a non-felon could be their nominee. But, I mean, there's still time. Trump will be sentenced on July 11th. But, Kristen, I would not be surprised if between now and then, you know, he still has to abide by, you know, certain orders from the court. And we'll talk to Jim Santel more later this week, but who knows by then what kind of trouble Trump could be in if he continues testing the limits of what a convicted felon can say and do.
I really appreciate Jim Santel and the way that he breaks all of this down in a way that we can understand it, because this is so complicated and there's so much going on. But yeah, what an unprecedented time in our nation's history. And how uncomfortable is it? I mean, think about it. If Donald Trump, as a convicted felon, were to be elected, what kinds of things would he not be able to do because of his conviction?
But who would stop him?
Right.
Because he says he's not going to let anybody stop him from, you know, firing generals and putting lackeys in their place. It's just such an incredible area. And I had a really good conversation to kick the weekend off with, you know, a friend who is, you know, is as, you know, rock ribbed Republican as it gets, doesn't advertise, you know, that he's a never Trumper. But I mean, you can sense the embarrassment and saying, you know, when is my party going to move on? Mm-hmm. And I am so certain that in your district, especially where you're running, you know, in a district that skews Republican, but you have, you know, your fair share of moderate Republicans there, those conversations have to be different than anything you've ever had.
They're so different. I mean, I grew up voting for Republicans, mm-hmm. so I understand what the value system is in general around here, and it is not aligned with what's happening with that mega extremism wing of the party. People are really searching for something entirely different and hoping that their party is going to step up and show some courage, but that's not what we're seeing, and it's not what we're seeing in the states either. Did you happen to see that the Texas GOP adopted a platform that recommended that women seeking abortion be convicted of a be tried for felony charges? Seek, I mean, it is so, they are so out of touch with what people really want. And, you know, Donald Trump just keeps pushing that boundary more and more and more. And I think separating himself from so many people who otherwise identify themselves as Republicans and conservatives. That's definitely what I'm hearing from my friends who are Republicans as well.
And when you talk about they, you know, we're talking about the Republican politicians mm-hmm. who continue to lose elections. You know, Trump won in 2016, but they lost in midterms in 2018. Trump lost in 2020, 2022. They've lost every special election for Congress. And so the party itself is so adrift. And again, so many of its moderate members want something else. And so it's in a place where we never thought we'd be. So we'll see if, again, between now and Friday when we talk to Jim Santel next, whether we have more legal drama to talk about or if we actually are taking a break from it. And if we are, then that enables us to focus on some of the other problems closer to home. And that's where we're going to bring Selena Heller back into the conversation here, talking about the shortage of, I mean, with Kristen, we talk about the shortage of healthcare providers, but there's a real shortage of educators across rural Wisconsin as well, Selena.
Well, right. Excuse me. And they don't stay like they used to. I talked to Shell Lake School Superintendent Todd Philhofer, and he was talking about, you know, it's before, you know, teachers stayed forever and ever and ever, and that was their career. And now it's just like they don't feel anything to just kind of pick up a move, change professions. It's just not the same anymore. Nearly half of new Wisconsin teachers leave within 6 years, guys. Wow.
So that leads him to talk about, you know, how you go and look for applicants, how you look for that next crop of teachers, right?
Completely different now, he says. You know, it used to be like you looked for one that was just going to his words were plug in and go. You have somebody who can, you just plug in to your whole system and they take it. But now he said it's a whole lot different because they just don't have different, they have different sets of qualifications now, and maybe they don't have certifications, and that never was, or licensing, that never was the case before, where that person was never even considered. But now it's just somebody that you can train and mold and hope they kind of fit in. And this is the Shell Lake superintendent, Todd Fellhofer.
Now, you know, we do hire people who aren't fully certified in terms of, that was never a consideration 15 years ago. I mean, somebody didn't have the license, you weren't even going to look at them. Now, again, you look at some of their other experiences, you maybe, you know, in an interview, you're probing for certain things that will lead you to believe, I think they can handle this. And that, again, that's a real change in how we focus on things. And
Again, Kristen, I'm not equating necessarily teachers and physicians, but I'm just talking about, you know, skilled professions overall. It's one thing to say, okay, we're running a little short, so we're going to kind of relax our certification standards a bit. But Kristen, you can go too far with any profession on that relaxation of standards.
Yeah, you certainly can. We're seeing that slippery slope in medicine, in rural areas, again, especially as we're seeing, you know, such a shortage of healthcare providers. But turning it back to educators, I was just talking with an educator in the Luxembourg Casco School District who said that they are losing four of their teachers. This is not a giant school district, because of pay, because they just can't afford to continue working as teachers. So not only are we having a hard time hiring people who are qualified to do the job, but we're having a hard time holding on to those people because we simply can't provide them with a living wage. And that is an absolute shame. Our public schools are the foundation of our communities, and our teachers deserve better.
Oh, they've always, for a long time now, they've deserved better respect than what they were getting from a lot of our elected officials who were frankly using them for political purposes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're now paying the price for that. So more of what Selena's working on over at UpNorthNewsWI.com and on social media, where you can see more clips from her interview there. And when we come back, Selena's going to talk to us about spelling bees. And we're going to test ourselves. Each one of us is going to come up with a word to test the other two, and we'll see how we do on that when UPNORTHNEWS radio.
Oh, yay! You got it!
I got it! You know, look how I had to really think about that for a second. Continues in just a moment. You're up, Nori. Here's another one from Denise Williams, who turned 73 today. Selena Heller from Up North News is with us. Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach, Pat Kreitlow. Nice to have you here on this Monday, June 3rd. And let's tell you about the Brewers for just a second here, because they swept the White Sox over the weekend after taking 3 of 4 from the Cubs. They took all 3 from the White Sox as well. And had one heck of a homestand, winning 8 of their last 10 games. They have a 5-game winning streak going on right now. You had Jackson Chourio hitting a 3-run homer. Final score yesterday was 6-3. Freddie Peralta struck out 7 over 5 innings of work, his first win since April 30th. The Brewers are in Philadelphia to play 3 with the Phillies, 5:40 tonight. And tomorrow, 3:05 on Wednesday afternoon. They're off on Thursday before a series next weekend in Detroit. You can catch tonight's game with the Phillies pregame at 5:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. You can sign up for our newsletter. UpNorthNewsWI.com is the website. We fill you in on not just news, but things that are happening all over Wisconsin. I don't know that we necessarily covered the one from last weekend, But while Kristen Lyerly and I have been trading information about dairy breakfast versus breakfast on the farm, Selena and Kristen have been trading information on Aleva Broiler Fest, which took place over the weekend south of Eau Claire. And all we got from Kristen on the chat board was, Broiler Fest with a question mark? Like, are these like toaster ovens? What are we doing here, Selena?
I need more information.
Yeah. And I said, chickens,
broiler chickens. Yes,
everything is chickens. Yes,
because Chicken Fest isn't just, you know, just doesn't have the same trip off the trunk. Never mind, Selena.
Yes,
we're gonna need some more coffee for Pat right now.
Yeah, go ahead, Selena.
Emery's little friend has a little fanny pack. Emery hates chickens. She's like, she likes to eat them, but not chickens. So
all
this little girl has is chicken stuff. And she's like, chicken fanny pack and chicken this and chicken clothes.
So she likes it as an illustration. You know, she likes the gear, or she didn't like the stuff.
Didn't like anything.
Just wants KFC. Yeah. That's it.
We'll eat chicken like there's no tomorrow. But
okay. Well, you know, and that's the only Broiler Fest that I know of.
Arcadia.
I know there's Arcadia. Is it Broiler Fest there too? Oh, okay. My apologies. Yeah, because they're right down the road there. And a lot of chickens in that area.
Yeah,
I'm used to, I don't know, Kristen, do they have like charcoal chicken festivals, or is charcoal chicken a thing out there by you?
No,
you
but
I watch. I like how we weave all these parts of Wisconsin together. You know, like, here, you learn this about my corner of the state, and I'll learn this about yours.
Well, I was going to offer something about Gainesville, Georgia, where I used to live back in the day, where it's a big, like, chicken farming area. And in the middle of the town, they actually have a pedestal with a statue of a little chicken on it, which is adorable.
Okay. That is adorable.
That's good.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Now that we're past Broiler Fest and getting back into work here, where, you know, some of us thankfully have spell check, but these kids competing in these spelling bees don't have to. And the big one, the Scripps Howard one, was it last weekend, Selena?
Yeah, over the last week. And there were like 245 spellers. Two were from Wisconsin, Nethra and Aiden. They're both from the Madison area. They got out in one was the 60th round, and I don't know the other, but they both did very nicely. And we watched the spell two nights of the spelling bee last week. So some of the kids, it was interesting because their strategies, how they do it or how they're used to, you know, one kind of wrote on their hand, and then another typed out the words, like
pretending to type.
And did all these their little things, and so we would know each one of them, like, oh, that's the one that does this, and that's the one that does this.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So it got to be like quite the little spectator sport.
Yes, it was very much so. Thing last week was they had a spell off. They had this the second time in the history, because they each matched their rounds, and so they had to have a spell off. Ooh. So that was the big thing.
Yes.
As many words as you could spell correctly in 90 seconds.
In 90 seconds.
Wow.
It's quite impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just looking at the coverage here in the Washington Post, and the champion, who's now 12 years old, maybe you know the pronunciation better than me, Bruhat Soma.
Yep, that's
was the name. And he's now 12. He's now gone 8 months since losing a spelling bee in any of them that he's taken part in. In honor of him and the Wisconsin kids and everybody who competed, welcome to the first and probably only Up North News Radio Spelling Bee, where we've each picked a word for the other two trips. Now, unlike, we don't have to imaginary write. I actually have a legal pad here, so I can give it my best shot. Selena, we'll have you go last, since you're going to use one of the Spelling Bee words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Kristen, you got one for us?
I got one.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Weltschmerz.
Can you use that in a sentence, please?
Yes, I can. Spending the morning with you helps cure my Weltschmerz.
All right. Selena, you want to tackle it first, or should I?
I'll go. Weltschmerz. Mm-hmm. V-E- Welchmertz. Welchmertz.
Wouldn't that be great if for the national spelling bee it was just Kristen on a microphone going
there's a judge on there that just when each kid got out she would just say nice things about the child afterwards.
That's nice. Welchmertz, Welchmertz.
It's closer, but no, okay. You have to ask like country of origin. It's
I know, German. I was going to do that. They all did that. Yeah. Definition, please.
It's Welchmerz. Oh. And it means a feeling of melancholy and world weariness. And I chose that word because many of us may be feeling that way these days. But there is a cure, and here we are.
We're the cure?
We're the cure for your Welchmertz.
Right. Well, the word that I had to double-check yesterday came after former Governor Scott Walker was interviewed, and this is a guy who was the first Republican to drop out of the presidential race in 2019, even or 2015, even before 2016, saying we all need to rally around somebody to keep Donald Trump from winning in 2016. Of course, all these years later, asked over the weekend, Scott Walker said he would be honored to serve as Donald Trump's VP nominee. So the word is obsequiousness. And since we've only got a minute left in the break and I see you both laughing, O-B-S-E-Q-U-I-O-U-S-N-E-S-S.
Oh, that's good. I thought you were going to go with Covfefe.
Covfefe would be a good one, too. Selena, give us an example of one from the spelling bee.
One of our Wisconsin spellers got out on the word hamelia.
Oh.
Hamelia? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a plant.
Hamelia.
Hamelia. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'll go out first quick here. H-U-M-M-I-L-I-A. Nope.
Yeah.
You're buzzers. All right, 15 seconds. Kristen, what do you got?
H-A-M-I-L-I-A.
Close. H-A-M-E-L-I-A.
One call off.
So close. All right. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, thank you both. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Great to catch you, brother.
All right. Well, we're not spelling. We're having difficult conversations in a civil way with Bill Hogsath next. You're up north. This was the number one song on this day in 1967. Aretha Franklin's Respect hit number one, written and first performed by Otis Redding before Aretha came along and made it her own. Speaking of respect, we are going to be talking in just a bit to Bill Hogsath about how he's doing that with some ways to change the conversations in some difficult times. But first, there is a new contest to tell you all about. Civic Media is putting it together across the radio network here, and it is all about our Scani Summer. It's the Scani Summer statewide Text to Win contest. And if you recall our last Text to Win contest, which involved some daily prizes, the best way to do that is to get that Civic Media app downloaded on your phone. From the Civic Media app, go to one of the stations where you can hear Up North News Radio, like 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls or Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. Get to the station, you'll hear the show. Use the text button on there, and then you text the day's keyword, and that's it. That's all you do. We pick winners randomly. There is one winner per hour of a Wisconsin Dell Summer Prize Pack. There is one winner per day of Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats at American Family Field. And then there are two grand prizes, a unique summer staycation. Places that might include, a Lake Geneva stay at Harbor Shores or Door County at the Ridges or the Fort Atkinson Cottage on the Lake. There's just so much that you can win here simply by using the Civic Media app and texting a keyword in on the app. Here's the keyword for this hour to text: trip, as in, going on a trip. over the summer. Part of the Sonny Scummer statewide text giveaway, use the Civic Media app to text TRIP to us here at Up North News Radio, and you could be in the running to win some prizes. Bill Hogsett joins us now as we get set to talk about, how do we put it? It's been an interesting year. It's been an interesting couple of years, and there's never been a more important time to have conversations that are civil and respectful, which does not mean you give up your values, but it does mean we don't have to take everything to, you know, DEFCON 5. Bill Hogsett, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Pat. I'm good. It's nice to be with you. Good to see you.
Well, it's nice to see you as well. You were so active in and around Dunn County on these types of community conversations. You're in an area that, does vote heavily Republican and in many spots, you know, especially outside the city of Menominee. And yet I know, living not that far away from there, there are all kinds of folks who they tend to vote one way, but their values are not nearly as extreme as some of the people that they might be voting for. And so many people have had many meetings in coffee shops and party offices and everything saying, where do we go from here? And for you, it's been about starting conversations. Why is that the way that you think is the best approach, given how quickly people, you know, react nowadays to political conversations?
Why do I think that's the best approach? I think quite simply, it's because we have a lot more in common with one another than we might think. And one person might vote one way, another person might vote another way, someone might not vote at all. But when you take the time to ask questions and show curiosity and not jump to judgment about what you hear from somebody, you discover that we all want the same thing. We all want to be able to raise a family. We all want to be able to see the doctor if we're sick. We all want to be safe. And when you can get to that level with people, there's a lot more ground that you can cover. And so that leads us to this thing we call deep canvassing. And deep canvassing is really just kind of a fancy word for something we all already know how to do, which is to listen to another human being talk about what's important to them. And it's something we all do with our family and friends all the time. What's different about it is applying those same skills to talking to strangers about what's going on in your community, what's going on in your state, what's going on in the nation. And, asking people what's important to you, but also like exploring how do we make change together? How do we actually come together to get what we want for our community? And so really the end result is connection and solidarity with other people in your community.
I think that in a prior age, before the last decade or so, and if you talk to people about canvassing, and I certainly did it as a candidate, it's you're going door to door, you're looking to talk to people, but you're looking to persuade them. You know, in this particular example, hi, my name is Pat Kreitlow. I'm running for such and such. Here's why I think I would do a good job, etc. This is more about knocking on somebody's door, as I understand it, and saying, I want to listen to you first.
Yeah.
I'm simplifying it a bit too much, but once somebody is properly trained to do that kind of a listening campaign, what are they really doing at people's doors in a deep canvas?
They're asking a lot of questions. They're really asking questions that invite the person at the door to open up and to share. And so a lot of times in these conversations, which are, 10, 15, sometimes 20 minutes long, you've got a canvasser who's really probing with somebody and taking interest and showing curiosity. And what we notice is that once the person who, after they open their door, realize that you're friendly, that you're interested, that you're curious, and that you're going to actually listen to them, most people really open up. And most people are actually really hungry to be heard and to share. So when I first started doing this, I actually was kind of terrified the first time I went to a door, like, how's this going to go? And quickly realized that most people are really craving human connection. The other thing that our canvassers are doing, Pat, and this is part of what we go through in our training, is that they're sharing a story of their own. So in Dunn County this summer, we're going to be talking to people about housing. So our canvassers are going to share a story about a time when they or someone that they know struggled with housing, in some maybe a big way and some maybe a little way. But what we find is that when the canvasser starts, when the canvasser shares a story that's personal and important to them, it really allows the person who's at the door to do the same and to open up, where the and the person realizes, okay, this could be a really real, authentic conversation. So listening and storytelling are really at the core of the skills that someone needs to do this. Again, which these are skills everybody already has. They just kind of have to summon up the courage to be able to do it with a stranger in their community.
We're talking to Bill Hogsath. He's got a deep canvassing training session coming up on Saturday, June 15th in Menominee. We'll tell you more about how you can learn about it and get signed up in just a bit here. When you talk about a 10, 15-minute conversation at the doors, I could immediately feel if every campaign manager who might be listening out there, pucker up. It's like, oh, no, because, you know, when it's a candidate, it's like you're trying to minimize that. You don't want somebody standing at a door for 10 minutes because you got 100 doors to get to. But some of the best times I had as a candidate and as an elected official were when you had those 10, 15-minute conversations, and then it wasn't a yes fest. They didn't agree with everything. But again, a lot of times I'd hear from the person, well, tell me more about, you know, this particular issue or something. And, you know, eventually I'd like to think that I earned their vote, but maybe not always. But it leads to this question, Bill. When people come up and they find out that somebody just wants to listen to them, I mean, isn't there still some skepticism? Like, well, you're saying you want to listen to me, but at the end of this, you're going to try to sell me on something, aren't you? And, you know, do you get a lot of that? Or do you get a lot of, like, the conversation never happens at all? They just, you know, refuse to talk. What's the environment like?
Yeah, well, that's a great question because, like you said, at the beginning of the session, we don't abdicate our values. We're clear about why we're at the door. And the reason we're at someone's door is because we want to make change in our community. We want to move our community to a place that's better for everyone. And so in this case, in Dunn County this summer, we're talking to people about housing and how we can change things around housing. What's different is that we share that. We have that conversation about the change we want to make near the end of our deep canvas conversation, after we've established trust, after we've shared stories, after we're on common ground. Then we have the conversation about how do we make change? What are the causes of housing crisis in our area? And what would you do as a person in your community? If you had a magic wand, how would you make change? And that conversation goes much better after you've established that common ground and exchange those stories, because you might vote different ways or you might have different opinions, but you could still proceed along that common ground.
Well, especially when you're talking about housing, for example, which does not necessarily have cut and dried, you know, Democratic and Republican approaches, at least not something that people have instantly memorized. And it reminds me somewhat of, you know, my first year as a legislator. The proposed smoking ban was the big topic of, you know, early 2007. And it didn't cut across party lines at all. It was almost more rural urban. The people in cities, Democrat or Republican, you know, wanted the ban. People in rural areas, Democrats or Republicans, didn't think the ban was a good idea. And it was almost refreshing that it wasn't a clear partisan thing. You could just talk organically about the issue. Now, not every issue lends itself to that, but when you say you're talking about or emphasizing housing this summer, that strikes me as one that might come pretty close to that.
Yeah, and that's really the whole basis of our organization, grassroots organizing, Western Wisconsin. We cover 7 counties in Western Wisconsin, and we are a nonpartisan organization that's really hyper locally focused on issues like housing that are really connected to people's deepest self-interest. Everybody has an interest in housing. Everybody has an experience with housing, no matter which way they vote or what, even if they don't vote. And so that really provides us that opportunity to have a different kind of conversation about what matters most to people. And then this isn't just about having the conversation, Pat. It's also about inviting people in to be a part of our local movement. to start getting into the local political arena to make change that they want to for themselves and their family. And I was just actually at a meeting last week that was hosted at one of our grassroots leaders' homes where we had a strategy session for one of our projects. And 2 years ago, we knocked on her door. She had never heard about our organization grow. And just after that door knock, she attended a meeting the next week that we had in her community. And it's 2 years later now, she's one of our top grassroots leaders who's working on helping people get elected to local office. So it's really like these conversations can be the first step to a larger journey of leadership for people in their community.
That is amazing. And I think that if more people could just see, for example, the introductory material that's out for about the training that you're having on June 15th, there's just three questions at the very top. Are you someone who is wanting to understand how to have compassionate, non-judgmental conversations across lines of differences? Are you someone who wants to learn how to talk about critical issues in your community in order to get things done? In a time of growing division, we need to build our capacity to talk to people who don't agree with us without writing them off. Those three sentences, those two questions and a third sentence, get people into learning more about perhaps being trained for this. There is a registration deadline of a week from today. And the Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin website is gro-ww.org, gro-ww.org. And on that page is a link down near the bottom. There's several things that are going on with the group. And the one you're looking for is a deep canvassing training, changing the conversation about housing in Dunn County, and register there. You still have room for folks, Bill, before I
get ahead
of myself? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And even if people aren't like specifically interested in housing in Dunn County, they just want to learn these skills. We think these are important skills that are transferable to so many parts of this kind of work. They're welcome to join.
Yeah, I noticed as some of them are scrolling through, there's a final five voting conversation about the different types of ways that we might change the way that we vote for elected officials in the future. Again, all of them look to be as respectful as we all would want our conversations to be. Again, gro-ww.org. Bill Hogsett, thank you so much for teaching us more about this. And I can't wait to get you back on sometime after this training and hear what you're going to be doing next.
Sounds great. Thanks for having us on, Pat.
Oh, thank you, Bill, for the time. I appreciate it very much. When we come back, it's Monday, so Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will be here to tell us three things you need to know to get the week started, three things that are in the news that the news team at Civic Media is following, and probably we are too over here at Up North News. All that and more coming up after this. You're Up North. All right, one more reminder about the new statewide Text to Win contest. That it's part of our Scani Summer at Civic Media. There are hourly prizes, daily prizes, and a grand prize. And all you have to do is get that Civic Media app downloaded, use the text feature, and just text that hour's keyword. And so you have another 9 minutes to get on the Civic Media app and text the word TRIP, T-R-I-P. Text that using the Civic Media app for your chance to be in the running as we draw randomly for prize winners as part of the Scani Summer statewide text giveaway. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell joins us now with three things you need to know to start the week. Terry, how's your weekend?
It was really restful, really nice. How was yours?
It was very busy around the house, very productive. There was much ibuprofen, consumed along the way. But it was absolutely worth it. You need one of those weekends where you just kind of look around a bit and go, okay, now I can go play all the other weekends, you know? Things are in order here. We've had a lot of conversations about the verdicts in the Trump hush money election interference case, 34 charges, 34 guilty verdicts, how they may affect the presidential campaign, which I'm not looking to be a wet blanket on this topic, but I'll say it so many times between now and then, whenever this is, there is an eternity until Election Day. I mean, I'll be able to say that on Labor Day. It's still an eternity until Election Day.
True.
But, I mean, in one way or another, this is going to help or hurt. What's kind of the chatter about it, a few days removed from the verdicts?
Well, new polling shows that this would, as you would think, is hurting the former president. Reuters. The latest Reuters poll shows that Trump has taken a hit with independents. 26% say they're now less likely to vote for Trump, which is a big chunk of a critical block of voters there. He lost fewer Republicans point-wise, 11%, but still 1 in 10 Republicans saying they're still less likely to vote for Donald Trump. And, you know, the margins this year are going to be razor thin. So any loss is a significant loss.
It's odd because, again, I'm not the only one, but people say all the time, how does he grow beyond his base, you know, if you're continuing to do things that aren't appealing to moderates? And he won in 2016 because a lot of moderates said, well, this is somebody new. Here's somebody with a business background. Let's give this a chance. And a lot of those people aren't. And it just seems, you know, you and I be junior political analysts here. His strategy has to be to grow the base, that there are all these other people who believe just like his base, but they don't vote, and to get them to come out and vote. I don't see any other rhyme or reason for him to see a path to winning.
No, and if he loses, that'll be exactly what happened, is that he really didn't do the right things to reach out to people in the middle who are keeping an open mind.
Yeah, it's always, I quickly remind people, it's not just about who turns out to vote. It's about who doesn't, who decided to stay home. And so much of 2016 is like the poster child for that. There were people who stayed home either because they just didn't think Hillary Clinton was, you know, good enough or whatever. And there were people that stayed home because they thought she had it in the bag. She was going to win. So it's just as important, you know, who stays home as it is who votes. And all those groups of people will be talked to during this eternity between now and November. Let's get a little closer to home here from a new standpoint, and Act 10, the union busting law from 2011, which is facing another legal challenge. And so where are we in that process that may or may not wind up at the state Supreme Court?
Well, we're waiting for a Dane County judge to issue his ruling. Now, the oral arguments were presented almost a week ago. So I brought this up, Pat, because this is the first chance you and I have had to talk about this. I'm sure you've mentioned it on your show last week. But yeah, we're waiting for that decision. What the arguments were last week is that on the one hand, one of the arguments being made to strike it down is that there's this two separate classes of public employees, public safety professionals and all the others. And the people hoping to strike this down say, well, this there's no basis for this two-tiered system. Whereas a lawyer for the legislature said, well, actually, yes, there is that the public safety professionals are a more crucial class of public employees. So they get their own category. So that'll be up to the judge whether there's any validity to the deed for two different sets of public employees. And the judge himself has attracted some attention because of he signed an anti-Walker recall petition way back 2010, 2011 or so. And there's also some concerns that Governor Evers was shooting down the next day that if Act 10 were overturned, that you would have public employees in large numbers then going on strike. People who want Act 10 overturned say that's extremely unlikely to happen.
Yeah, we talked briefly last week about the judge signing the petitions years before becoming a judge, and that, you know, being able to petition your government is just a tenet of democracy and shouldn't necessarily be weaponized. But then the other legal issue about the unions is, you know, yeah, they're public safety unions. They are also coincidentally, you know, question mark, the ones that endorsed Walker, Scott Walker. So to what degree, you know, is it really a legally binding or valid argument? And I, you know, we don't have the right or wrong answers here. We're all just watching to see what this judge will have to say about it. And finally, it's Wisconsin Bike Week. We mentioned that earlier today, that it's a, you know, like World Bicycle Day, and a reminder to get that thing off the hook on your garage and maybe ride it once in a while.
Yeah, that's good advice I could sure take. And also when you're getting that bike spruced up and tuned up to get out in the summertime, they're encouraging people to take that bike to a locally owned bike shop to get your accessories and your tune-up and all of your needs throughout the, because it's not just the bikes themselves, but it's the whole biz. It's the whole infrastructure that supports the bikes, the businesses that keep the bikes going, that also, you know, need support. And so that's what the week is all about this week.
Especially with such a good trail system that we have here. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. Terry, thanks so much. Have a great week.
Thank you,
Pat. All right. Thanks to all of you for being with us as well. Busy week. The next 3 days ahead here are going to include the three Democratic candidates running in the 3rd Congressional District primary. Tomorrow, we will have State Representative Katrina Shanklin. On Wednesday, we will have Eric Wilson. And on Thursday, we will have Rebecca Cook. Also tomorrow, along with Katrina Shanklin, will be the member of Congress who has endorsed her in the race, Congressman Mark Pocan, will be making his regular monthly visit with us as well. So a whole lot to stay tuned for and to keep tuning in, whether live or on demand as a podcast. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a